Hare Krishna, I'd like to take the blessings of all devotees before we discuss the final session on the subject matter of lessons from the life of Sri Madhavendra Puri. So in our discussion yesterday, we were talking about how, based on the first dream that Madhavendra Puri got, in his first dream, the Lord had come in his dream and told him to rescue him from underneath the ground where he was hidden for quite some time because of the attacks from the Mughals, the Muslim rulers in India. Madhavendra Puri had got up and gone immediately, taking all the residents of Vrindavan around there, and had pulled Sri Gopal, the deity of Sri Gopal, out of the ground. And then yesterday we discussed the importance of seva, or service. We spoke about how Madhavendra Puri had created a community. There was a big festival arranged on the Govardhan Hill for the installation of Sri Gopal. And all the devotees around that area cooperated with each other under the guidance of Madhavendra Puri. And based on their individual talents and abilities, cooperated together to serve the deity of Sri Gopal. And yesterday we also learnt that this whole festival was arranged only in one day. It was a massive festival, the second after the Govardhan Puja festival during the time of Lord Krishna. It was so huge, how was it possible to arrange such a massive festival in one day? So yesterday we heard about how Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes it was simply by the empowerment of the Lord. And we discussed how Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and other great souls, by being empowered by the Lord and the parampara, within a very short time achieved massive success in their endeavors in preaching Krishna consciousness. Madhavendra Puri now got his second dream. And in the second dream, the deity of Gopal, whom he had installed on the Govardhan Hill, came in his dream and said, I was hidden under the ground for such a long time, and because I went under the ground for such a long time, my body has become very hot. It's extremely hot, the temperature of my body is very hot, so kindly cool me down. Go to Jagannath Puri, which is called Malay Desh, and Prabhupada writes there, even Malaysia was called Malay Desh. Malaysia comes from Malaya. And Prabhupada says, previously Malaysia was also known for sandalwood, now it's known for rubber wood, he says. You know, it's changed from sandal to rubber now, they're known more for rubber than sandal. But here in the dream, Lord Gopal told Madhavendra Puri, go to Jagannath Puri, Malay Desh, and get sandalwood and apply that sandalwood on my body to reduce the temperature of my body, which is very hot. Sometimes one may feel, how can the deities have high temperature? Isn't it? Deities are deities. You know, deities are deities. They probably think them as stones many times. Deities are not stones. You know, personally, the Lord is standing there. One of our doctors in Bombay, his name is Dr. Alwa, and he has access to Jagannath, Baldev and Subhadra during the Snan Yatra time when no one is allowed to see them. And during Snan Yatra, after bathing Jagannath, Baldev and Subhadra, then apparently Lord Jagannath gets a cold and fever. As someone may think, for 15 days in seclusion taking medicine, they have actual medicines given to Jagannath, herbal medicines to bring down his fever and cold. Someone may say, hey, what is this? How can a deity get fever? How can his body become hot? Dr. Alwa, because he has access to the deities during Snan Yatra, had taken a thermometer with him. No, this is a real story. Taken thermometer with him, and he went and he put the thermometer in the armpit of Lord Jagannath to check whether he really has fever. And Lord Jagannath actually had fever. The thermometer read 102. 102 fever, right, after being bathed in all of these waters. So we should not think that the deities are simply some stone idol standing there. In Bombay, Radha Rasbihari temple, the person who makes the outfits for the deities, stitches the outfits, is from an Islamic background. He's a Muslim. And he, whenever he wants to make a new outfit for the deities, wants to go on the altar and take measurements. Now deities don't become fat and thin, apparently. Deities, we go thick and thin, and therefore we have to go and take measurements and all of this if we visit a tailor. So the pujari told this Muslim tailor, what are you saying? Why do you want to go and take measurements again and again? And this tailor said to the pujari, you are a devotee of Krishna. You don't have faith. I have faith. The deities changed their size. He said, I can prove to you. Every time I come for measurements, you come with me. And you will see that the measurements are different. They are not the same. You can come and verify, he said. And therefore, Madhavendra Puri got this dream that the deity's temperature was very high. The body was very hot. It was not just a dream like we had discussed before. It was a vision. Go to Jagannath Puri and get sandalwood for me. The deities told him. Madhavendra Puri was in ecstasy. Imagine Krishna coming in a dream and giving an order, serve me in such a way. My God, what an ecstasy. Premaveshe. He was in great premavesh, great ecstasy. And the problem is, when we are in material ecstasy, material joy has two problems. Apparent material joy has two problems. First is, it is insensitive to others. When I experience material happiness, I have no sensitivity to the people who are around me. And second is, when one experiences material joy and happiness, it brings about a sense of irresponsibility. Material happiness can never make a person sensitive, and material happiness that experience can never make a person responsible. You know, spiritual ecstasy, on the other hand, makes a person super sensitive. And spiritual ecstasy makes a person super responsible. When we say that I am experiencing joy and we call it spiritual joy, if it is spiritual joy, it must bring these two things. Sensitivity to others around us and a sense of responsibility in what we do in life. Then we can say, when I chant Hare Krishna and I am feeling this joy, it is spiritual. Then I can say that when I am in kirtan and I feel that ecstasy, many times in kirtan the ecstasy is out of the singer's voice. Nice voice. Or the ecstasy is out of a new melody, many times. If a singer who is not so melodious comes and sits and he starts singing a melody which is 85 years old, which you have heard a million times, if still we feel joy, then we can say it's somewhere spiritual. You know. And therefore, material feelings of joy, no sensitivity to others. One time a man was walking at 1 a.m. totally drunk, fully drunk. And the policeman caught him and said to him, where are you going? He said, I'm going to listen to a lecture. He said, it's 1 a.m. sir. You're going to listen to a lecture? What lecture? He said, I'm going to listen to a lecture on the demerits of drinking alcohol. He's fully drunk. He said, 1 a.m. Where are you going to hear the lecture on the demerits of drinking alcohol? Said, I'm going home to listen to the lecture given by my wife. At 1 a.m., who else will give a lecture in the morning? 1 a.m., only the wife will give lecture on the demerits of drinking alcohol. Oh yeah, drinking alcohol completely in ecstasy, absorbed. Divine ecstasy, you know. But insensitive. Insensitive to family, insensitive to wife, insensitive to people around. And therefore, when there is material joy, one becomes insensitive. Even sometimes, devotees who come to the temple, they think that when we rush for the darshan, I'm getting spiritual ecstasy in this darshan, or spiritual ecstasy in dancing in the kirtan. When is it spiritual ecstasy? When it is sensitive. The problem is, many times in going to take darshan, we step on others' foot. Many times in going to rush for darshan, we push elderly devotees away. Many times it's seen. Younger devotees will push elderly devotees away to rush in the front to take darshan of the deities. Many times it is seen, younger devotees are in such apparent spiritual ecstasy that when they spin around in kirtan, it's like a helicopter blade with both the hands open and the blades chops off few noses, few years of elderly devotees standing around. If it's genuine spiritual joy, one will become very sensitive to the needs of people around us. And therefore, this kind of joy can be called mental joy. It's good. But spiritual or not, that is a big question mark. Let us look at the life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the Antya Leela of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And the Antya Leela of Sri Chaitanya Chaitanya Charitamrita describes about Lord Chaitanya in the house of Kashi Mishra. The house is called Gambira. And in that house, Lord Chaitanya is absorbed, prema veshe, in the highest of all spiritual ecstasies in separation from Lord Krishna. Absolutely absorbed. He is beyond the external world. He is living in his internal consciousness of thinking simply about Krishna, 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 Krishna. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Sometimes he is beating his head against the wall in separation from Krishna. Sometimes as he is rubbing his face is bruised. Many times very difficult to understand these stories. And Swarup Damodar Goswami puts a devotee called Shankar Pandit to care for Lord Chaitanya. You stay here all night long, make sure he doesn't just leave the house and jump into the ocean in separation from Krishna, because when he sees the blue ocean, he thinks Krishna and jumps into the ocean. In absorption, Krishna, 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 Krishna. Ecstatic, you know. And what a fortunate devotee, Shankar Pandit. He's called the pillow of Lord Chaitanya. I mean, imagine what a name. Shankar Pandit is called the pillow of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Lord Chaitanya would always rest his head on the lap of Shankar Pandit when he would sleep in Gambira. I mean, imagine the good fortune, you know. Lord Chaitanya straight away putting his lap, his head daily on the lap of Shankar Pandit. Therefore, he's called the pillow of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And many times, you know what, someone is absorbed in ecstasy, but Shankar Pandit is not on that level. So all night Lord Chaitanya is trying to rest sometimes Krishna, Krishna. And as Lord Chaitanya is resting on his head, Shankar Pandit would also doze off. Chaitanya Charitamrita Kaviraj Goswami explains, doze off in the night. And whenever Shankar Pandit would doze off, Lord Chaitanya, ecstatic, absorbed in Krishna. But spiritual ecstasy means sensitivity. He would get up and see, Shankar Pandit is asleep. Lord Chaitanya would pull out his blanket and put it on Shankar Pandit and make him sleep comfortably. This is a classic proof of the fact that when someone is actually absorbed in spiritual ecstasy, he doesn't become insensitive to others' needs. He becomes super sensitive to others' needs. In Ayodhya, Lord Ram is sitting on his throne. And the throne is not on the ground. The throne is on a raised platform. There are stairs, steps that go up to that raised platform. As Lord Ram is sitting on his throne one day, Lav and Kush, his sons, come being trained by Valmiki Muni, singing Ramayana, Gita Ramayana, singing the Ramayana in the palace of Lord Ram. As they are singing, they are totally absorbed. They have no clue that Ram is their father, and Ram has no clue that they are his sons. And they are singing the story of Ram. And Ram is sitting and hearing the story of himself. And he's totally entrapped, totally absorbed. Especially when it comes to the subject of Sita, he's so absorbed in ecstasy, absolutely in spiritual ecstasy, prema vesh. But as he's in that ecstasy, he gets up from the throne. And in that absorption and ecstasy, he starts walking down the steps to come down to where Lav Kush are singing. But as he's walking absorbed in ecstasy, so sensitive, suddenly he realizes his ornaments are making huge sound. Ornaments in those days were heavy. Nowadays, to buy a heavy ornament, my God, you'll have to spend a fortune for that. You know, people buy one small chain, and that's all, gold chain. Now, if you want to make sound, only Harley Davidson makes sound. Ornaments don't make sound. Every now and then on the roads of London, I find a young man going, just speeding up and making sound. It's more to catch attention, you know. Ram, as he's walking down, the ornaments are making so much sound. Although absorbed in Ramayana, Sita's charitra, he holds all the ornaments. Holds all of his ornaments and tiptoeing comes down the stairs so as not to disturb Lav Kush in their singing, so as not to disturb all the people who are hearing the glories of Sita Devi. And therefore we find one who is actually experiencing spiritual joy, one who is actually spiritually absorbed, becomes more and more sensitive to the needs and concerns of others. You know, not only does he become sensitive, but he also becomes super responsible. Sometimes when one is in material happiness, responsibility is gone. Chanakya Pandit says there are four kinds of sons one might get. First kind of son is called Sevakaputra. Sevakaputra means he is born to serve. Very rarely, but sometimes people get kids and children who are Sevakaputras, you know, who come to serve the parents. At all costs, anything happens, they are there, standing by the father and the mother to serve the parents. The second kind of son, Chanakya Pandit explained, is Rinanubandhiputra. Rinanubandhiputra means, in the previous life, someone had taken a loan from a man, a merchant, but didn't pay back. So the merchant, or the landlord, or the one who gave the loan, comes back as a son to get every penny back. Last life you didn't pay, na? Now I will come. And then he is born to empty the bank account of the father and the mother. That's all. Rinanubandhiputra, come to clear off the accounts. The third kind of son, Chanakya Pandit explained, is Shatruputra. Shatruputra means, in a previous life, someone was an enemy and the enemy could not defeat you. So now he comes as a son. Sheer enmity was meant to destroy the family. Duryodhan. Classic example of Shatruputra. You know, meant to destroy the family. Hates the mother, hates the father, hates the family, hates everything around. Meant to create chaos at home. And Chanakya Pandit explains the fourth kind of son is Udasin Putra. Udasin Putra means, well, he was dealt with in such a neutral way. And when he comes, Udasin. No joy, no sorrow. Arey, your sister got a baby. So, no joy. You know, we brought a new car. So, your mother's dead. So, no difference to him. So, Chanakya Pandit explains these four kinds of putras. The first one is a responsible son. Serves. The other three, highly irresponsible. Just enjoying life. And therefore, when one is enjoying material life, one becomes irresponsible. Most times we'll see kids, youngsters, when they're just going around doing so many things, trying it all, there is a sense of irresponsibility that comes. You know? Spiritual ecstasy, spiritual joy, means responsibility. You know? One time a child came to the father and said to the father, Papa, can you write your name in the darkness? It's my challenge, huh? My challenge, when all the lights are off, can you write your name properly? I said, yes, yes, you're challenging me. I shall definitely do it. Tell me, where should I write? Turn the lights off, I'll show you. Where should I write it? Said, on my report card. You know, because parents are meant to sign the report cards of the kids. And in the darkness, when all the subjects everywhere is failed, they say, please turn the light. This is a challenge. Sign the report card. Highly irresponsible. Spiritual joy means responsibility. Look at Madhavendra Puri. When he got this dream, go to Jagannath Puri and get Chandan, he was not insensitive and irresponsible. Super responsible. What was his sense of responsibility? I have installed Sri Gopal, excited to go. He didn't leave Gopal like this. Kaviraj Goswami explains, Sevara Nirbandha Loka Karila Sthapan. He made full arrangements for the service of Sri Gopal. He was absorbed, ecstatic. Krishna had come in a dream. Come to Jagannath Puri to get Chandan for me. But that ecstasy did not take away from his sense of responsibility towards Gopal, the deity. He made full arrangements, and then taking the orders of Sri Gopal, he left for Jagannath Puri. Srila Prabhupada, Jaya Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki, Jaya Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki, Jaya Gaur Nitai ki, Jaya. Srila Prabhupada absorbed in spiritual ecstasy, but always so responsible and so sensitive. In ecstasy, one time a devotee saw a picture of Srila Prabhupada, and the picture very grave. You will see it in the Lilamrita. If you open the pages, you'll see a picture very grave and serious. And a devotee came and said to Srila Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, you look very serious and very tense and, you know, very different here." Prabhupada said, "You don't understand. This is spiritual ecstasy. You know, you don't understand what you... If we see it, we say, why is he so anxious? Why is he so grave and so serious?" Prabhupada said, "This is spiritual ecstasy. In spiritual ecstasy, all the time, but on the material plane, sensitive and responsible." One time a devotee came, Giriraj Maharaj, went and asked a very famous industrialist in Bombay, after Srila Prabhupada left this world. He went and asked, "Can you teach us some management techniques? You're a big industrialist. Now Prabhupada has established this con, big organization. We need to learn how to run it properly." He said, "Why have you come to me? Learn from your guru, Srila Prabhupada." He said, "I saw Srila Prabhupada so many times managing the whole society of ISKCON, doing so many things in ISKCON, responsible for so many things, but I never saw a pen or a paper with him. No pen, no paper, no phones, no laptops. Everything here. Although absorbed in Krishna, on the material plane, very responsible and sensitive." Srila Prabhupada, like Madhavendra Puri, while leaving Vrindavan, Govardhan, to go to Jagannath Puri, he was making arrangements for the deity of Gopal, although absorbed. Srila Prabhupada would do the same. While he would leave, he would always tell devotees, "Take care of the deities, make arrangement for the deities to be taken care of well." When he left Australia, he had just initiated the Australians as Brahmanas. He prayed to Radha Gopinath. He said, "I can't make much arrangement. I have taught them, but I'm not sure what they will do to you. Please take care of yourself, my dear Lord." You know, I'm leaving. Madhavendra Puri had qualified people as Brahmanas to serve. When Prabhupada was there, he didn't have anyone. He said, "My dear Lord, they're there, but please take care of yourself." In San Francisco, when the Jagannath, Baldev, Subhadra deities were installed, he told them, "They are persons, treat them as persons." The next morning when he came, Jagannath and Baldev were missing. Only Subhadra was there. So Prabhupada said, "What happened? Where is Jagannath and Baldev?" He said, no, Prabhupada, "You said they are persons. Because you are a person, you go for a morning walk on the beach. They are persons, so we took them for a morning walk on the beach. And Jagannath and Baldev was on the beach." And Prabhupada said, "Not like that. They only come once in a year for Rathayatra outside, and therefore..." It was at that time that Prabhupada arranged the first Rathayatra in the Western world. San Francisco. Right. People then did not understand much. They did not know much about deity worship. Madhavendra Puri had these Brahmanas, qualified Brahmanas. So when he left to Jagannath Puri, Sevara Nirbandh Loka Karila Sthapan. He did Sevara Nirbandh, arrangement for the service of the deity. Super responsible, although absorbed in ecstasy. And Srila Prabhupada was so. 1973, Auckland. Srila Prabhupada came, and guess what the devotees had done? Devotees would do all kinds of novel things. They had seen in the theater a revolving stage. You know, when two scenes are done, you know, this sort of round stage with a wall in the middle. So without any time delay, the scene changes because the stage revolves. They made a revolving altar. On one side, Radha Krishna, the other side, Gaur Nithai. So first darshan, Gaur Nithai. And as you close your eyes, go away in the stage revolves. Where did Radha Krishna go? Gaur Nithai in front. So Srila Prabhupada came to Auckland, and the devotees were so super excited to show Prabhupada their novel altar, the only one of its kind in the whole world of ISKCON. And Prabhupada came and took darshan. Gaur Nithai. Suddenly what happened? Radha Krishna came in front. And Prabhupada, the devotee who made it, came and said, "Prabhupada, how do you like this altar?" And Prabhupada said, "The deities are not rolling stones, you know." And imagine that devotee, he had the courage and the guts to say to Srila Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, but there is a saying in English which says, rolling stones gather no moss." Prabhupada was furious. He has have the guts to say this on top of that? Prabhupada said, deities are neither rolling stones nor are they stones. They are not rolling stones and nor are they stones. Just stop this and change this, you know. Imagine the kind of things Prabhupada had to do. Whenever he would leave from one place, devotees would bring about so much change. And Prabhupada said, this is what I'm scared of. You guys, you always want to change. That is your mentality. And I'm scared that you'll change everything. Madhavendra Puri had responsible people to take care of Gopal. Srila Prabhupada, he did not have too many responsible people in then. He was training them, you know. And then, while he was absorbed in great ecstasy, he was taking so much responsibility to serve the deities and so sensitive to the needs of the devotees. He told that the devotees were greater than the deities for Srila Prabhupada. Absorbed in ecstasy, chanting the holy name, responsible that deity worship is established, but simultaneously always considering how the devotees can be served. In Mayapur, even before the temple, Mayapur Chandrodaya Mandir was made, he made the lotus building for the devotees. And someone came and asked, Swamiji, your temple is not ready. Before the deities, you are taking care of the devotees? Prabhupada said, yes. First devotees. When the devotees are there, they'll come, they'll do kirtan, and as soon as kirtan is there, Krishna will arrive. Then we'll make temple. First needs of the devotees. Prabhupada, the devotees in New Vrindavan made a palace of gold for Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada came, he loved the whole golden palace. But he said, this is all good. But my devotees are like the gems that decorate this palace. Dr. Patel in Juhu was arguing with Srila Prabhupada. Arguing like anything. Swamiji, in your temple in Juhu, Radha Ras Bihari are on a ground level and you built quarters for your devotees on a higher level. So that means devotees are greater? Why? Why like this? Prabhupada said, read the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, what Krishna says. Mad bhaktaha puja bhyadika. My devotees are more worshipable than me. And therefore these quarters are for the... Of course, he didn't put devotees above the deities in the temple. But around the temple, the quarters were first floor, second floor, so the devotees were living there. And therefore, spiritual ecstasy, spiritual joy means two things. Sensitivity and responsibility. How can we judge and find whether we are actually experiencing spiritual happiness by these two things? Are we becoming more sensitive to the needs of other devotees around us? And two, are we becoming more responsible in the services we do? If we are, then the pleasure we feel is spiritual pleasure. If we are not, then the pleasure we feel is at best some mental pleasure, which we feel is spiritual pleasure. Madhavendra Puri, after making the arrangement, just left. Straight away left. And Lord Chaitanya, in glorifying Madhavendra Puri in the nature of his love, talks about this verse. Pragadha premera e swabhava achar. Pragadha prem. Prem means love. Pragadha, condensed love, intense love. What is the swabhav? What is the nature and the behavior of intense love? Nija dukha, personal discomfort. Vighna adi, impediments. Na kare vichar. Condensed, intense love does not consider personal misery, personal discomfort, personal impediments. Willing to do anything for the object of love. Anything. Absolutely anything for the object of love. And a classic example, of course, is, you know, love between a man and a woman. Sometimes a young guy will tell a girl, I'll go to the moon and I'll bring the moon and the stars from the sky. I'll string a necklace with the stars and put the pendant as the moon and offer you that necklace. Say, do it. That is too much. The best example is two examples of absolute selfless love which doesn't consider any impediments or distress is the love of a mother for a child. Oh, how much the mother goes through for a child. Nija dukha vighna adi na kare vichar. Does not consider personal distress, impediments, unhappiness. The child is doing all kinds of ecstatic stuff on the lap of the mother. And you know what I mean. And the mother considers that as sandalwood paste. Sandalwood paste and musk and camphor mixed together. You know, imagine what the mother has to go through. All of our mothers have gone through all that. You know, all of our mothers have gone through all that. And does not consider it at all. And the second thing is patriotic love. Many times patriots don't bother giving their lives. Giving their lives for the country. I vow to thee, my country, all earthly things above, entire, whole and perfect, is the service of my love. The serve love that asks no question, that love that pays the price. I just learned this poem in my school long back, 21, 22 years back. I remember that poem. The love that asks no questions, the love that pays the price, ready to sacrifice anything, but still not perfect. It's only material. The love of a devotee does not look for any impediments. Madhavendra Puri, he had to walk all the way from Vrindavan to Jagannath Puri. And this was not, there were no planes, no trains, no nothing. He walked, not knowing what he would eat, what he would drink. He didn't have any money. And it was the Indian summer, not the London summer. London summer is what, 24 degrees, 25 degrees, too hot, everyone stays too hot, you know, my God, I can't handle this heat, 28 degrees, I have to go to some place where it is cold, turn the air conditioning on, please, can't handle it. We are talking of 50 to 50 degrees Celsius, Vrindavan, Delhi, sometimes goes to 49, 50 degrees Celsius. Jagannath Puri, walking through Orissa, Bengal. My God. Go to Odisha in the summer season and you will see. 48, 47, 48, 47 constantly. Walking through the scorching heat of the sun. Nothing to eat. No money. All the way. Did not consider. Thieves, dacoits on the way. But the nature of pragad prem. Love is such. Nija dukkha vigna adi na kare vichar. And Prabhupada classifies this in four categories in the purport. He says a devotee will not consider four things. Firstly, he says discomfort. Secondly, scarcity. Thirdly, impediments. And fourthly, unhappiness, personal unhappiness. Because it's so much driven by love to serve, a devotee will never consider these four in his service to Krishna. Or Prabhupada also writes the representative of Krishna, the spiritual master. Classic example, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, you know, did not consider any personal discomfort in preaching Krishna consciousness. When he came to Butler, Pennsylvania, when he arrived there, he was staying in the house of Gopal Agarwal and Sally Agarwal. And as he was staying in their house, when he opened the refrigerator, there were big chunks of meat. And Prabhupada had never taken it in his life. What a discomfort, what an inconvenience, you know. Prabhupada, when he was a little child, he had some, I believe it was typhoid, probably pneumonia. And the doctor had said, give him some chicken soup. And the father had denied. Gaur Mohan Day had said, no, cannot give like this, it's against our principles. But the mother pushed, his mother pushed like anything, Rajani Devi, pushed, child's life. Do some medicine, that's some medicine we should give. And finally, somehow, because of the pressure of the wife, Gaur Mohan Day agreed, and when they had given him the chicken soup, just a little, when it had come, he had thrown up, vomited, couldn't stand it even when he was a child, he didn't even know what it was. And here he comes to Butler, Pennsylvania, one who had in the childhood thrown up with a drop of chicken soup that had gone on his tongue, opens the refrigerator and finds all of these big chunks of meat. No problem. The nature of love is, so not that he's going to eat it, but discomfort, fine, no problem. I'll take all the discomfort because of my Guru Maharaj's order to preach this mission. I don't mind it. And then that when he started ISKCON, they made a world traveling. They made a bus. They got a bus, and they said, "Prabhupada, this is the bus for our world traveling Sankirtan party." Really? They said, "We'll go around the world in this truck." So, will you like to come, Srila Prabhupada? Just try it how it is. And Prabhupada came. Firstly, the door wouldn't open. This was supposed to be the world traveling Sankirtan party bus. The door wouldn't open. And then they somehow, the door opened. They brought Prabhupada on the seat. And as they started trying to start the vehicle wouldn't start. Finally, somehow they started the vehicle and the chair on which Prabhupada was sitting, the seat, was going back and forth. Back and forth. Prabhupada said, it's a good idea, world traveling Sankirtan party, not this vehicle. Sell this and we will think of it sometime in the future, not now. What kind of discomfort Srila Prabhupada had to go through? Scarcity, tremendous scarcity in the early days of ISKCON. There was nothing. And Shruti Dharmapur was telling me a story. One day as Prabhupada was being driven by one of the hippie boys, Prabhupada was hungry. There was nothing to eat. New York. And the deck of the car, there was an apple. And Prabhupada said to him, can I have that apple? And this person took while driving and he ate half the apple and gave the other half to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada ate that half apple. There was nothing else to eat. He ate that half apple. That was the scarcity. You know, he was going to the Mishra Yoga studio and Dr. Mishra would not allow him to speak because he was a yoga teacher. And he would tell Dr. Mishra, hey, see, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's father's name was Jagannath Mishra. And you are also Mishra. So Mishra, Mishra, common. So why don't you help preaching Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission? And he would cook there for he would give something, he would cook for himself and cook for Dr. Mishra also. And then all the yoga studio kids, they remembered. Prabhupada would deliberately cook more so that all of them would also get. Nothing was there. He was dependent on Dr. Mishra even for one meal in a day. But did not bother. That is the nature of love. Personal discomfort, scarcity, does not matter. Impediments? What kind of impediments in preaching? He got League of Devotees for Jhansi, that land was given, taken away from him politically. His manuscripts of the Gita were stolen away. He was threatened, that crazy fellow David, staying on the loft in New York, came to kill him. Got wild and came to kill him. Life threats. Unbelievable impediments. On the Jaladuta, 2 heart attacks. Did not bother. Personal unhappiness, did not bother. Absolutely unconcerned. On board the Jaladuta, he wrote, I'm feeling so unhappy. Today is Janmashtami. And today is Gaurapurnima. And I'm away. I think Janmashtami, I'm away from my God brothers, from devotees in Vrindavan. Feeling so unhappy. And Prabhupada wrote, but I'm reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And in reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita, I am finding hope and solace. The nature of love, Prabhupada says, it does not consider personal discomforts, scarcity, impediments and unhappiness. And so were the followers of Srila Prabhupada. So were the followers of Srila Prabhupada. So much driven by love for Srila Prabhupada, it didn't matter. It just didn't matter to them what kind of inconveniences they had to go through. You know, they were imprisoned. They were imprisoned. Bhavanand Prabhu was put behind bars. And when he came out, finally, when Prabhupada was told, Prabhupada came and told him, don't worry. It is only a misunderstanding that they have put you behind bars. Srimati Radharani was also misunderstood in Vrindavan. Don't worry. You know, don't worry. She was also put behind the room. Her mother-in-law and sister-in-law wouldn't allow her to go out to meet Krishna. Don't worry. But like Srimati Radharani became so famous because of her devotion, don't worry, you will very well become famous. And his, when he came to Calcutta, all over the newspaper, his paper, photo was there, imprisoned. Prabhupada said, now you preach through that. You know, misunderstood, imprisoned. You know, parents were objecting. Giriraj Maharaj's parents brought brainwashers, hired psychiatrists to change Giriraj Maharaj. So they came and they said, look what your parents have done for you. You can't understand. And Giriraj Maharaj said, Pita ham asya jagato, mata dhata pitamaha. Krishna is the mother, Krishna is the father. So what happened? Finally, after a lot of trying to brainwash him, the psychiatrist said, this boy is permanently infected. Leave him. He won't change. So he came back and Prabhupada asked, what happened? The psychiatrist said, I'm permanently infected. And Prabhupada loved it. Every lecture after that, Prabhupada would say, so our Giriraj is permanently infected by Krishna. You know, parents were against. Society was against. And it was absolutely against the social trends in America. People felt that devotees are not full. They don't do anything in full. They don't put a full bed sheet also. Full bed sheet at least is okay, but there is a front thing hanging, a back thing hanging. There's a neck, they have a necktie, so here is a front tie and a back tie. Nothing in full. They don't even shave their heads full. There's something hanging in the back. If they want to put their hands in the bag while chanting, why don't they put it full? Something is hanging out. Always against the social trends. Didn't bother. Scarcity, discomfort. In Juhu when they came, American people, big rats living in a shack. Didn't bother. Took it all. And therefore, we are here enjoying the fruits of their sacrifices. Srila Prabhupada and the followers of Srila Prabhupada. And therefore, the nature of love is that it never sees discomfort, scarcity, impediments, unhappiness. Madhavendra Puri came all the way, and as he came to Remuna. While in Remuna, he took darshan of the deity of Sri Gopinath. Beautiful deity. And as he saw the worship, he realized, this worship is of very high standards. Very, very high standards. In Kolkata, when Srila Prabhupada came and saw Radha Govind, he said, your standards of deity's worship is excellent. I said, how? He said, because there are bumblebees around the gardens of garland of Krishna. Prabhupada said, any time you see a bumblebee hovering around the garland of Krishna, you should know that the standards of deity worship are excellent and Krishna is pleased with your deity worship. Like in Vrindavan, there is bumblebees hovering around Krishna's garland. So also, bumblebees around the deities. Of course, we should not bring some bumblebees around and say, go, go around Krishna's garland. Our deity worship has become very good now. We don't go for that standard. Prabhupada said, excellent deity worship means two things, he said. Cleanliness and punctuality. Madhavendra Puri saw, what deity worship? He realized, they must be offering him great bhoga. So he came and asked the head pujari, what do you offer your deities of Gopinath? He said, we offer many things, but there is a special preparation we offer. It's kheer. This kheer is not made anywhere on the planet except in Remuna, and it is true. For those of you who want to try it, please visit Remuna whenever you go to Jagannath Puri. And the pujari told him, because this kheer is so nectarian, like the nectar of the demigods, Amrit, the name of this kheer is Amrit Keli. Every day we offer 12 pots of this kheer to Gopinath. And as he was saying, so Madhavendra Puri sat in the temple chanting, and the tray of the 12 pots of kheer arrived. And Madhavendra Puri, he thought in his mind, if only I can get one pot of the kheer, and I can taste it, I can also make the same kheer for Gopinath. I'll also make the same kheer for Gopinath. And then as he thought this, my God, he felt absolutely ashamed of himself. E ichchai lajja paaye, lajja. He felt ashamed. The food is not even offered. The kheer is not even offered to Krishna. And I've thought that I should eat it. My God, he regretted that what have I done? I thought I should eat before the offering. And he had not thought to eat this kheer because he wanted to taste it. He wanted to make that kheer for Gopal. Therefore, a devotee regrets even the slightest thing in his consciousness. A pure devotee, even a little thing here and there, feels very ashamed. Yudhishthir Maharaj fought on the battlefield because Krishna ordered. It was for dharma. But after having killed so many people, he did not feel ecstatic. He felt ashamed. Hey, because of me? It's service. But even if it is service, it means doing something that I didn't want to do. Shouldn't have done. Killed so many people. Felt regretful. You know. Parikshit Maharaj, when he put that snake around Shamik Rishi, he felt regretful. It was Krishna's plan for him. Krishna planned because the Bhagavatam should come. Felt regret in his heart. Lord Parshuram killed the Kshatriyas 21 times service. Kshatriyas had become bad. Regretted, went to Kurukshetra to take bath in this Samanta Panchak to purify himself. Madhavendra Puri, it was for service. Service he felt that I should do this. but regret it. Many times in our service, we have to say things to people, do things to people, but we don't regret it. We enjoy it. When we have to chastise people and correct people, even as a service, we enjoy it. The conditioned nature enjoys it. Madhavendra Puri did it as a service. Thought about that kheer as a service. But he didn't enjoy it. He didn't think, hey, after all, it's a service only. Therefore, I'm doing it. No. He regretted that I'm thinking that I want to enjoy and eat this kheer before Krishna has eaten. And that regret did remain there. He went, left the place, and started chanting the holy name. As he was chanting the holy name, in the pujari's dream, Gopinath came and said to the pujari, get up, I have hidden a pot of kheer behind the curtain. Please go and take that pot of kheer. And there is a devotee in the outskirts of the town. His name is Madhavendra Puri. Go and give that pot of kheer to him. The pujari got up hastily, went to the altar. He didn't just jump in the middle, took a bath, then went. You know, like Krishna came in the deep, let me go in straight. Took a bath, went in. Pulled the curtain off, there was a pot of kheer. He took that pot of kheer and came out to see Madhavendra Puri. And started shouting, hey Madhavendra Puri, where are you? Look at your extreme good fortune that Gopinath has stolen a pot of kheer for you. How we wish Gokulananda steals a Gokula sweet for us. What an amazing thing. Say, where are you? Madhavendra Puri realized, my God, he took that kheer. He was humbled. Krishna stole that kheer for me. He tasted that kheer and was in ecstasy. And what is the proof that he released that kheer as Mahaprasad? He took that pot and broke it into pieces and every day ate the piece of the clay pot. For us, if we can take the paper cup, eat the sweet rice, then keep the paper cup and daily tear it a little bit and taste it. This is also Mahaprasad offered to the deity. Cannot do that. And therefore the name of the deity changed from Gopinath to Kheer Chor Gopinath. Today the deity is called Kheer Chor Gopinath because of Madhavendra Puri. And what was Madhavendra Puri's problem? He sat there after eating the kheer. Now everyone will come to know that Krishna stole kheer for me. I'll become famous. I don't want fame. I can't take that fame. Everyone will come to know that Gopinath stole a pot of kheer for me. No, that is not right. I must leave this place immediately. Scared of fame. Oh my God. Afraid of being famous. That if I become famous, I'll be distracted. Left that place, Remuna, to go to Jagannath Puri. But Kaviraj Goswami explains, what is the nature of fame? The nature of fame is Pratishtaraswabhave jagate vidit jena vanche tarahoe vidhata nirmit. The one who doesn't want it gets it. The one who wants it never gets it. Never gets it. Therefore, fame or praise in Sanskrit is called stuti. And stuti is a virgin girl. Stuti is called kanya. Virgin, unmarried girl. Why? Because all those who want her to be married to them, she doesn't like them. All those who want fame, she doesn't like them. And those whom she likes, they don't want her. Those whom she wants to go and get married to, she says, they say, we don't want fame, Baba, you go. And therefore, stuti, fame, praise, is a kanya, a virgin girl. People, how they want to be famous in this world. My God, the Guinness Book of World Record is all about people trying to do something to become famous. And no one even knows unless one reads that book. I once met a man on a journey from Pune to Bombay. And he had nails which were like 500 meters long. Coiled up, this big. On a finger, this big coiled up nail. You know? And then he even showed me, pulled out the coil and showed 500 meters. I said, why? He said, after all, one has to do something to become famous. And my way of doing it is nails. I've seen people break a bottle, glass bottle, crush it to powder and eat it straight. Guinness Book of World Records to become famous. Madhavendra Puri, unsought fame is coming to him. He said, no, I'm scared of that fame. Vasudev leper was delivered by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His leprosy was gone. When he became beautiful, he said, I was fortunate before. Now people will think Lord Chaitanya has been so merciful to him and therefore he has changed. I'll become famous. I'm scared. Fame comes and if I'm not ready, I'll become proud. I'm scared. Srila Prabhupada had a disciple and he came to see Srila Prabhupada and he asked Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, can I spread Krishna consciousness to rock and roll music? Prabhupada said, no problem. That's okay. Through rock and roll music, make sure you make Krishna famous, not yourself. Because Prabhupada knew. He was trying to be a rock and roll star before and had been totally a failure. And now he was using Krishna consciousness as a launch pad to become famous. Prabhupada said, make Krishna famous. Madhavendra Puri left because he didn't want to be famous. But for a pure devotee, fame follows. And as fame followed him, Jagannath Puri, before he reached there, everyone had known that Madhavendra Puri was the person for whom Gopinath had stolen kheer. So he said, hey, my God, what a saint has come to our town, the person for whom Krishna stole kheer. Everyone was coming offering pranams. And Kaviraj Goswami explains Madhavendra Puri's response. He wanted to run away from there. This is a verse. He wanted to run away from there. He was feeling suffocated from this fame. People are offering me worship, not to Krishna, to me. But he didn't leave. Why? Because he knew that fame will get him what he wanted, to serve Gopal. He used that fame in service to Gopal. When people came around, what can we do? What can we do? Sandalwood, please. And the Puri temple was then under that government of the king. The king came to know, gave him sandalwood, gave him two servants to take the sandalwood, gave him the papers to clear off the toll. There were toll booths, Mughal toll booths then. So toll free he could go. He didn't have to pay anything. Sandalwood and camphor, and Kaviraj Goswami described the exact quantity. Srila Prabhupada, when George Harrison came to him, George Harrison said, Prabhupada, I want to join the temple. Prabhupada said, no, you don't join the temple. You are famous. Krishna has given you that fame. We will guide you. You use that fame in service to Krishna. Compose songs and sing songs in service to Krishna. And then George Harrison said, just jokingly said, Prabhupada, I want to get initiated from you, but even if I don't, it's okay. Because after all, I'm Hari's son. Hari's son. He said, after all, I'm Hari's son. So I don't need to change my name, Prabhupada. And what George Harrison did, everyone unanimously in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness can agree, no one could do. What George Harrison did, no one could do. Through his songs, how many people in the Western world came to Krishna consciousness simply because of the songs of George Harrison. And Prabhupada appreciated it in such depth. The service that George Harrison Prabhu rendered for ISKCON, that when he was in his final days, leaving the world, 14th of November, last day, so many people in the world, whom did Srila Prabhupada think of? Prabhupada thought about George Harrison Prabhu. He pulled out his ring and he said, give this to George Harrison, that boy. It's such incredible service for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. You know, amazing. Amazing. And therefore fame is bad because it can make one proud. But when that same fame is used in service to Krishna, it can work wonders. It has to be used under the direction of a spiritual master and superior guidance. Otherwise, it's very risky and dangerous. You know, Madhavendra Puri stayed there to get all of this stuff. He got it and he left Jagannath Puri to come back to Vrindavan. He had got all the sandalwood, ecstatic. Now we can use it in service to Gopal as he wanted. That dream, he had come, put Chandan on my body. Madhavendra Puri as he was returning, he was now coming back through Remuna again. And as he came to Remuna, the pujari said, "Kheer is ready, huh? Now Gopinath doesn't have to steal kheer for you. We have pot of kheer ready for you." He saw the aarti, took the Mahaprasad, and as he rested that night, Madhavendra Puri got his third dream. He's a man of dreams. But visions real with dreams. In the third dream, Gopal came in his dream and said, "Don't come so far now. Use all this sandalwood to offer to Gopinath deity, Kheerchur Gopinath." This is too much, huh? This is too much. He comes in the dreams, makes him go all the way to Vrindavan, to Jagannath Puri in the scorching heat of the sun through so much difficulty, and is returning back. And now he says, "Don't come, put it on that deity." Too much. The last lesson from the story is Madhavendra Puri was not attached to the particular kind of service he was doing. Madhavendra Puri was attached to seva, not to the kind of seva. And that is a devotee. If he's rendering service, this or that, here or there, doesn't matter. After all, service is important. And service means to please. If it means to please, we should do what pleases the Guru, what pleases the Lord. If it pleases the Lord to go and get the sandal, I'll do that. And if it pleases now to put it on Gopinath and not on Gopal all the way back, fine, I'll do that. That is the nature of a devotee. He gives priority not to the kind of service and is not attached that it should be used in this way. Many times we say, "I have given this, it should be used in this way." We dictate terms of how the charity should be used. No. Of course, that's not bad either. But the highest level of service is not concern. Concern is service. Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, called by Srila Prabhupada in his room, "Take sannyas." Prabhupada, sannyas? What will I do? No, you go do this. What will I do this? I'll go to China and preach Srila Prabhupada. Jokingly, he said. Just better than doing this, I'll even go to China. Like he said, "I'll even go to the moon. What to speak of? But not this." Next morning, the bell rings. Servant says, Prabhupada tells the servant, "Go get Tamal Krishna." Tamal Krishna Maharaj comes into the room. Prabhupada says, "Go to China." "China?" Prabhupada said, "You said last night." "Prabhupada, that was a joke. It was a joke. Just because I want to say, compared to this, I'll even go to China." And Prabhupada replied, "Vaishnavas, don't joke like this." Prabhupada said, "Go to China." And Tamal Krishna Maharaj started arguing. "Prabhupada, Radha Damodar Sankirtan party, we've all said it. Everything is going fine. So many devotees are joining." Prabhupada said, "No." He gave so many arguments. Prabhupada said, "I gave you the Radha Damodar Sankirtan party. I take it back now. I gave you this facility to serve. I'm taking it back from you now. Go to China." And His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, after talking about all arguments and everything, he said, "What am I saying it all for? What is Radha Damodar party for? To serve Prabhupada. To please Prabhupada. And if it displeases him, what do I have it for? He wants this service to be offered in this way? No problem. Gopinath or Gopal? No problem. Seva must go. Radha Damodar party or China? Doesn't matter. Seva must happen." He went to China and we see the result. Prabhupada said, "The Chinese will be the last to come, but they will be the best devotees." And we can see, my God, the Chinese devotees, their commitment, their surrender, their bhakti, their affection for Prabhupada and the philosophy of Krishna, unimaginable. And everyone in the world of ISKCON unanimously accepts this today. Last to come, Prabhupada had said, and the prediction has come true, with the best of all devotees. And therefore we find Madhavendra Puri on the day of Akshaya Tritiya, which we celebrated the day before yesterday. This has come the right time actually. I was thinking this will be the three sessions and it has come at this time, right time. Day before yesterday was Akshaya Tritiya, the first day of Chandan Yatra. Madhavendra Puri on Akshaya Tritiya stayed there and with the assistance of all the pujaris started grinding the sandalwood and started putting sandalwood on Gopinath for 21 days it took. Therefore from day before yesterday, Friday, till the next 21 days is the festival of Chandan Yatra, where daily in Remuna Chandan will be put on the deity of Gopal, on Gopinath. And in our temple in Chopati, we have a deity of Gopal. 21 days we also put Chandan on the deity of Gopal every day for 21 days. Why did Krishna do all of this? Gave him a dream, go to that place to show the nature of his love. Beyond any impediments, discomfort, scarcity, personal unhappiness. And then why did he not allow him to bring it back to Vrindavan? Said, enough. I've shown the world enough how much he loves me. How there is too much discomfort. Enough of it. And in this way, the Chandan Yatra festival was celebrated in great pomp in Remuna. From this whole story, we learnt 11 lessons, which I am just summarizing in the last 2-3 minutes of our discussion this morning. The first lesson we learnt was, hearing, open our eyes to glory of the Lord and the devotee. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had heard the story from Ishwarpuri. Therefore, when he came to Remuna, he could understand the glory of Kirichar Gopinath. The second lesson we had learnt was, the dream of a great devotee is not an illusion, an imagination, it is a reality. Madhavendra Puri, the three dreams he got were real dreams. They were not some mental concoctions. The third lesson we learnt was, the affection between the Lord and the devotee is a benevolent affair for the benefit of the world. Right? The devotee's love for Krishna benefits the world. Madhavendra Puri's love for Krishna brought Gopal out for the benefit of the world. The fourth lesson we learnt was, Madhavendra Puri regretted that he had not recognized that boy who had come as Krishna, who had come in disguise. But he did not just keep crying. He immediately focused on the order of Gopal and dealt with that regret. Many times when we lose opportunities in Krishna consciousness, we may regret. But we must focus on the orders of Srila Prabhupada and that regret can be dealt with. The fifth lesson we learnt was, which was yesterday, the importance of seva. Madhavendra Puri created a community of service on the Govardhan Hill and engaged everyone in service to Gopal while he himself was engaged. The sixth lesson, in one day he organized such a powerful festival. It was because of the empowerment of Sri Gopal. And therefore, to do any service without empowerment, we'll never be able to do it the way it's supposed to be done. The seventh lesson is responsibility. Spiritual joy means sensitivity and responsibility, like we discussed. He arranged for the worship of Gopal before he went for the Chandan in Jagannath Puri. The eighth lesson, the nature of love is discomfort, scarcity, unhappiness or impediments. Doesn't matter. He'll go and serve. Get it. Take it for the service. The ninth lesson, no justifications in service. He had thought about service. I'm offering this pot to, I want Kheer to serve Gopal. So why should I justify and regret? No, he regretted. He felt ashamed that I thought like this before the pot was offered. I ate it. Yudhishthir Maharaj did not justify. It was okay to kill all of these people. He felt regret I killed. Parshuram did not justify that I killed the Kshatriyas 21 times. He regretted. He went to Samanta Panchak. Parikshit Maharaj did not justify. I did the right by putting that snake on Shamik Rishi's neck. No, he regretted. He went to the banks of the river Ganga, took the curse and heard the Srimad Bhagavatam. No justification of doing wrong. We say wrong in service, sometimes we feel bad. We must feel bad and not enjoy that we said this to someone. Maybe a service, fine. We can't just enjoy doing that. Feel regret in the heart. The tenth lesson is the nature of fame. One does not want fame. A devotee does not want fame. He wants Krishna to be famous and uses that fame in service to Krishna under proper guidance, like Madhavendra Puri did. And the last 11th lesson is, a devotee is detached from the particular service that he has put effort for. He is attached to service. And Madhavendra Puri revealed that he was taking it for Gopal, but when Gopal said, do it, use it for Gopinath, he used it for Gopinath. And therefore, during this festival of Chandan Yatra, we learn this amazing 11 lessons from the life of Shripad Madhavendra Puri. And we pray at the lotus feet of Madhavendra Puri and His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada that they can bless us with these virtuous qualities, that we can also learn these lessons and apply it in our lives. Personally for me, I don't live by any of these or anything. I'm just theoretically what I've read and heard, just sharing it with all of you. So if I've spoken anything beyond my realization, please forgive me for having said anything. But this is an amazing festival, Chandan Yatra, in the memory of Madhavendra Puri, Kheer Chor Gopinath and Srinathji in Udaipur, Rajasthan, which is Shri Gopal, which we are celebrating beginning Akshaya Tritiya for the next 21 days. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Jaya Shri Madhavendra Puri Pad ki, Shri Khir Chor Gopinath ki, Jaya Shri Srinathji Bhagavan ki, Jaya Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki, Jaya Shri La Prabhupada ki, Jaya Gaur Premanande. Hare Hare Bol Hare Krishna. Maharaj Ji.